Week philosophy here.
Interesting mixture of things coming up later in the hour. In just about three quarters of an hour, we'll demonstrate, I guess, the old maxim that the acorn does not fall very far from the tree.
But Mr. Clinton was asked about political troubles back home, the White House fundraising efforts.
Over the roar of the engines on Air Force One, President Clinton did not sound defensive. He explained in painstaking tones that he will do anything necessary to get information to investigators. The president did not promise to submit to questioning. When asked if he understood why Attorney General Janet Reno was mad about the delay in being told about videotapes of White House copies, the president shot back, "You should have been there when I heard about it."
All right, first thing we're going to do here is a little thing that I wrote, and it's not exactly finished, but I'm gonna read to you what I got here, and I'll throw in commentary in the middle and throughout the thing and elaborate on the end if it need be to get across my whole point here. So I'm just going to go with it here and just see what happens. It's entitled "Beauty in Beauty in Beauty in Beauty," closest thing to an article that we have. Pretty much all we have is not articles, but that's not the point. Alright. Obsession with the compulsive behavior of obsessive compulsiveness leads to a disdained turnabout of medical extraordinariness. It's come to my attention that I have developed a Don Juan DeMarco complex when it comes to women. Obsessed with the beauty of woman, not a single woman, or even a certain kind of woman, but all women. Beauty and woman are synonymous. The slight curves or bends, glints of eroticism and divineness. Obviously, there are some who I consider more beautiful, more of a delight than others, but I've come to find myself seeing the delight in all women, obese, heroin addict, thin, lopsided, flat-chested, black, Asian, white, handicapped, acne-infested. It doesn't matter. Half the time, I am stunned by their beauty, just wishing to admire, to watch, and breathe it in, not driven by any sexual desire. The other half of the time, there's still that feeling, but coupled with eroticism, with a desire to run my tongue lightly about their neck, wanting to not only breathe in the beauty, but taste it, and show them their beauty. I put them on a pedestal of ecstasy. Of course, Don Juan had the unnerving power to draw women to him. They knew he was the greatest lover in the world without him announcing who he was. They knew. I, unfortunately, do not have such a power at all. I do, however, possess the unnerving power of counsel, console, and heal, all capitalized. The human species, specifically women, tend to be unearthly drawn to me, seeing some kind of connection, feeling as though they can reveal their darkest secrets, hopes, dilemmas, and desires. And they do. 9.5 women out of 10 feel this unknown draw. It happens and has happened constantly. At first, it was something I enjoyed and felt honored with. But too often, I am told I know what is going on and asked for insight into their existence. And honestly, not to sound egotistical at all, and I hope I don't sound that way, because it's not meant that way at all. I know what is going on, and I can provide insight. I enjoy providing insight, actually. That's what I think people are here to do, help others. It's a big, big part of it. But too often the conflict arises that prevents me from any romance-like engagements with women. The belief apparently viewed that I am placed here to be consulted by the many and not loved by the few, or even one. Of course, that's a harsh, exaggerated statement, though, that I don't literally hold true whatsoever. Humans seem to hold a trait in which occasionally in their lives they crave affection. Affection from a relative or even a pet may be used as an attempt to fill that hole, but doesn't seem to wholly satisfy. Definitely have that craving. Definitely do. Perhaps more than the norm, for the life I lead involves little to no human affection. Of course, you may say, and I may say, it is my own fault. I'm the one who imposes boundaries and limitations on myself, instilling my own fears. What is to keep me from walking across a room and stating how beautiful a lanky, innocent-faced creature may be, but myself? Perhaps some sort of divine power, but I believe it still trickles down to myself. There's more there, but it's kind of strays. I also realized after around when I finished writing that is that it's not just women. I see that same kind of beauty, physical and otherwise, with men. I'm just more drawn to women because that's who I'm attracted to. But I definitely recognize it with men, which it's I think is overall just a wonderful. It's a good thing. A lot of people say it's a total crock of shit. That kind of seeing the beauty in everybody, and everyone is good. Treat everyone wonderfully, even if they're the most evil creature on the planet. But I disagree. I think that definitely is true and definitely applies. I know some people and that will see just the good in everyone. I used to see just the bad in everyone. Now I see the good and the bad, and I would like to enforce the good and also at the same time help in any way to get rid of, repair, change the bad, and help that person progress in life generally and just get better off. That's it. That's it.
You're being haunted by your ex.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know if you know this or not, but he was the first man to ever measure the sound waves produced by an erection.
We play relaxing love songs at night for Austin.
True love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is ripe. It's so perky. I love that.